Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. I'd like to ask you guys a question on today's podcast. And it's going to be a little bit of a controversial one, I guess, from our privacy standpoint. And as you guys know, I'm a big privacy... Well, I consider myself a privacy advocate or privacy sensitive. I don't believe, as I've mentioned before in our talks about encryption and VPNs, in an absolute right to digital privacy. A theme we've come back to again, time and again on this podcast, and what we're going to talk about today is that everything white hat has a black hat use, right? We can't really bring technology. We talked about, I mentioned that I don't think absolute quantum resistant encryption for the price of a consumer VPN subscription, I'm not really comfortable with that being a thing, because it means that, you know, anyone can use that to hide malicious activity and law enforcement won't be able to do anything about it. There is equally plenty of legitimate uses for it. And I think maybe that's where we go wrong when we're talking about topics like these. We're going to be talking about undercover recording today. And the black hat use case there is blackmail, recording things taken out of context, things of that nature. But there's a white hat use case too, and we can't really create a technology that can only be used for good. If we bring something, we make it at a price that people can afford, people are going to use it however they want. So you guys might know that I've lately been involved in a really ugly housing situation that started as a little leak in our roof. And that escalated when essentially the person, our landlord, refused to remediate the situation, deflecting blame on the neighbors and the building committee. And for 3 weeks, the situation got worse and worse, to the point I have asthma. It just started spreading, mold started forming, and we had to start sleeping on the couch before eventually leaving the property. At a certain point in time, the landlord became very, very angry. I asked for a definitive timeline of repairs. He refused to provide one and responded with a really angry email saying, "You've been very nasty to us," and all this kind of stuff. So he was coming to visit the property. And at this point, I'd kind of already established that he was not a very nice person. Looked at the legal history, the long legal history of bringing baseless claims against people. You guys might know that my initial career aspiration was journalism. And one of the first things every aspiring journalist owns is a digital voice recorder or a DVR. I've been tempted over the years to throw out my DVR because, you know, we have it on our phones. Who needs this anymore? But they're very, very useful things to have because they're not your phone, right? You can keep them charged. They run forever. And they just do one job well. And that's something that in technology, we frequently see that phones integrate so many things. But the thing that's built for one thing only and does it reliably well is still wonderful. So one of the things that DVRs are useful for, besides recording interviews, which I use them for many times in my life, is recording things, well, undercover. You can stick in a lav microphone to them, or you can even route a conversation through VoIP, which is a way we're seeing a lot of these gadgets defeating increasing restrictions on recording conversations, which we covered in a previous episode. Now, I want to emphasize and mention that this is not something, the context I'm talking about here, I would call this protective evidence gathering, right? When our landlord came to visit, I recorded the conversation. I did so after ascertaining that in Israel, it is lawful to have one-party consent. If you're a party to a conversation, you're in the conversation, you can record it. You can't just go up and randomly record people. You don't have to disclose that you're recording, even though many phone announcements will say, this you know, recording calls may be recorded for quality training purposes. Now, I recorded this on my phone and I didn't even use their voice recorder, and I'm extremely glad that I did. I recorded the landlord committing very clearly to repairs within days, not weeks, and saying sorry even. And then the next day we received a hostile email saying, I disclaim any responsibility for this matter, blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't know whether this recording I have is court admissible evidence, but I hope it does drive home the point for anyone listening that I'm not talking about recording stuff as a peeping Tom or to just kind of intrusively gather recordings on neighbors. And if you are a friend of mine, please know that the circumstances in which I would feel the need to record a conversation are really relegated to dealing with manipulative, abusive landlords. And that's about it. Other times I would record a conversation, maybe if it was at a bank and I was opening a mortgage and my Hebrew was bad. But the way I would do that is I'd say, do you mind if I record this conversation? My Hebrew is not the best. And assuming they consent, I would put a voice recorder on the table very transparently, so that everyone knows. And if they said no, I wouldn't. So there's different uses for it. But I maintain that it is not something that is just done maliciously. So with that, Herman and Corn, I'd like to talk about this concept of single party consent. And I'm looking for a new DVR. My current one is a little bit old. And when you kind of see this, well, we can talk about the tech aspect. There's a whole world of dummied recorders for PIs, things that are kind of like button pins that are video recorders and phone, you know, decoy phone chargers and USB things, anything that really has plausible deniability. I kind of just assume these things are gimmicks. I mentioned that I like Strike, the detective show, and I often find myself asking, because he's such a likable character, I can see a lot of me in him. He's a bloke, he likes the pub, and he's just a hardworking guy, you know? So I always think, well, what would Strike use? And I kind of think probably Strike would just have a really old school Olympus voice recorder that he hadn't replaced in 20 years, but it still worked. That's probably what he'd use. So Herman and Korn, for recording things for evidentiary reasons, DVRs, lav mics, dummied microphones, what might, if you feel comfortable disclosing recommendations within the limited context that this recording technology would be used within the bounds of the law by the user, what do you think about the options on the market today, and what would Strike use? Herman and Korn, over to you.
Hey everyone! Welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Korn, and I am sitting here in our usual spot in Jerusalem with my brother.
Herman Poppleberry here, and I have to say, the energy in the house has been a bit intense lately. Our housemate Daniel has been dealing with some pretty serious stuff with his apartment, and it actually led to the prompt we are diving into today.
Yeah, it is one of those situations where the theoretical meets the very practical and, frankly, the very stressful. Daniel was telling us about this mold issue in his place, and it turned into a real conflict with the landlord. It is the kind of thing where you realize that a person's word is only as good as the evidence you have to back it up.
It is a tough spot to be in. We have all had those moments where you were standing in a room, someone says something that changes the whole dynamic, and you think, I wish I had a record of this. Daniel actually did record a conversation on his phone, which turned out to be vital because the landlord immediately backtracked the next day. But now, he is looking into better, more reliable ways to do this, specifically for protective evidence gathering.
It raises some fascinating questions about technology, ethics, and the law. Especially here in Israel, where the rules might be different than what people are used to in the United States or the United Kingdom. We are going to look at the tech behind digital voice recorders, the world of undercover gadgets, and even get into some pop culture with the detective show Strike to see what a professional might actually use.
Right, and before we get into the nuts and bolts, we should probably touch on that legal foundation Daniel mentioned. In Israel, the law is governed primarily by the wiretapping law of 1979 and the protection of privacy law. It is a single-party consent jurisdiction. That means as long as you are a part of the conversation, you can legally record it without telling the other person. You cannot go planting a bug in a room you are not in. That is illegal wiretapping. But if you are standing there talking to your landlord about a leaky roof, you are well within your rights to hit record.
It is a powerful tool for self-protection. But, as Daniel pointed out, he is currently just using a smartphone. And while smartphones are amazing, they are not always the best tool for this specific job. Herman, you've been looking into the dedicated digital voice recorder market. Why would someone want a separate device when they already have a computer in their pocket?
That is the big question, right? We have this tendency to think the smartphone is the ultimate Swiss Army knife, but for evidentiary purposes, it has some major flaws. First and foremost is reliability. If you are using your phone to record a high-stakes meeting and you get a phone call or a notification or the battery dies because you were scrolling through maps earlier, the recording could fail or get interrupted.
Not to mention the ergonomics. If you are trying to be discreet, pulling out a giant glowing glass brick and navigating to an app is not exactly subtle.
Exactly. A dedicated digital voice recorder, or a DVR, is built for one thing only. It has a physical record button that you can often feel through a pocket. It starts up almost instantly. And the battery life is usually measured in dozens of hours, not just a few. But the real difference is in the audio quality and the file integrity.
Let us talk about that audio quality. When you are gathering evidence, you do not just need to hear the words. You need to be able to identify the speakers clearly, and you need to minimize background noise that might obscure the conversation.
Right. Most smartphones use tiny omnidirectional microphones that are designed to pick up everything nearby, but they are heavily processed by software to make your voice sound good for a call. That processing can actually strip away some of the detail you might need for forensic analysis. Dedicated recorders often have better preamplifiers and higher quality microphone capsules. You can record in uncompressed formats like WAV instead of compressed MP3 files.
Which is huge for evidence. If you have a compressed file, a cynical lawyer could argue that the artifacts from the compression are actually signs of tampering or editing. A raw, uncompressed file with clear metadata is much harder to challenge.
Precisely. And Daniel mentioned these variety of gadgets on the market. Lavalier microphones, dummy recorders, things that look like pins or USB sticks. This is where the market gets really murky. You have the professional gear, and then you have the spy shop novelties.
I have seen those USB stick recorders. They look like a standard thumb drive, but they have a tiny little switch on the side. Are those actually any good for evidence, or are they just toys?
It is a mixed bag. The primary advantage of those dummy recorders is plausible deniability. If someone sees a USB stick on the table, they do not think twice. If they see an Olympus recorder with a glowing LED and a screen, they know exactly what is happening. But the trade-off is usually massive. Those cheap spy gadgets often have terrible microphones. They pick up a lot of internal electronic noise, and they have no way to monitor the levels. You might get home and realize the whole thing is just static because the mic was rubbing against your pocket.
That is a great point. The sound of fabric rubbing against a microphone can completely ruin a recording. That is why professional investigators often use a lavalier microphone, which is those tiny mics you see clipped to people's shirts on news broadcasts.
Yeah, a lavalier, or a lav mic, is a game changer for undercover work. You can have the actual recorder hidden in your pocket or even strapped to your ankle, and then run a thin wire up to a tiny microphone hidden near your collar. Because the mic is closer to your mouth than the other person's voice, and it is pinned in place, you get much cleaner audio with less movement noise.
But even then, you have to be careful about the law and the ethics. Even if it is legal, there is a social cost to this kind of thing. Daniel was saying he felt the need to do it because of a manipulative situation. It is about balancing your safety and legal standing against the fundamental trust in a relationship.
It is a heavy burden, but let us look at the technical side of what makes a recorder actually good for this. If I were advising Daniel on a professional level device that is not a toy, I would tell him to look at something from a brand like Sony or OM System, which is what Olympus is called now. Specifically, Sony has a series called the ICD-TX line. These are incredibly thin, almost like a clip or a pen, but they are high-end professional tools.
I know the ones you mean. They are very sleek. They do not look like a traditional bulky recorder.
Right. The Sony ICD-TX660, for example, is about the size of a stick of gum. It has a built-in clip, so you can put it on a pocket or a bag strap. It records in high quality, and it has a feature called one-touch recording. You can hit the button while the device is off, and it starts recording immediately. That is the kind of reliability you want when things are getting heated. It also has a hold switch, which is vital, so you do not accidentally stop the recording while it is in your pocket.
What about the storage? One thing that always worries me with these devices is what happens if the file gets corrupted or the device is lost.
That is where the professional gear shines. They usually have 16 gigabytes of built-in memory that is very stable, and they often have a feature that saves the file every few minutes so that if the battery dies, you only lose the last tiny bit of the conversation. And for evidence, you want a device that applies a clear time and date stamp to the file metadata. That is crucial for proving when the conversation actually took place.
We should also talk about the placement. If Daniel is going into a meeting with his landlord, and he is using a dedicated recorder, where does it go? Does he leave it in his pocket?
This is where the trade-off between quality and discretion happens. If it is in your pocket, the audio will be muffled, and you will get that fabric noise we talked about. If you put it on the table, it is obvious. This is why those dummy devices are tempting. But a better middle ground is often a high-quality recorder with a very small wired lavalier mic. You can hide the mic in the fold of a jacket or even behind a button if you are clever.
It sounds like something out of a movie, but for someone like Daniel dealing with a real legal threat, it is just practical preparation. Now, he also asked about the show Strike. For those who do not know, Cormoran Strike is a private investigator in a series of novels by Robert Galbraith, which is a pseudonym for J.K. Rowling, and there is a great TV adaptation. Strike is a very down-to-earth, no-nonsense character. He is an ex-military police investigator from the SIB, the Special Investigation Branch.
I love Strike because he is the opposite of a high-tech James Bond. He is scruffy, he is often broke, and he uses gear that actually works in the real world. He is not using laser microphones or satellite uplinks.
So what would Strike use? Daniel thinks he would use an old-school Olympus recorder that he's had for 20 years. What do you think, Herman?
I think Daniel is spot on. Strike would definitely have a reliable, slightly battered OM system or Sony recorder. He probably prefers something with physical buttons that he can operate by touch in his coat pocket. He would not trust a smartphone for a primary recording because he knows how easily they fail or get seen.
There is a scene in the books where he uses a digital recorder hidden in a pocket, and he is constantly worried about the rustle of his coat. It is very realistic. He is not a tech wizard. He is a guy who understands that the simplest tool is often the most reliable. He would probably use something like the OM System WS series, like the WS-883. They are workhorses. They have great battery life. They are easy to plug into a computer via a built-in USB connector, and they are incredibly durable.
And that is a key point for Daniel or anyone else in this situation. You want a device that has a built-in USB plug if possible. You do not want to be hunting for a proprietary cable when you need to get that evidence onto your computer and backed up to the cloud immediately.
Let us talk about that second-order effect. Let us say Daniel gets a great recording. He has the landlord on tape promising repairs and admitting fault. What does he do with it next? Because the technology of gathering the evidence is only half the battle. The other half is preserving it.
This is so important. If you are gathering evidence for a potential legal case, you need to maintain what is called the chain of custody. As soon as you finish that recording, you should transfer it to a secure location. Do not edit the file. Do not even rename it if you can help it, because that changes the metadata. You want the original, untouched file.
And you should probably make copies. One on your local computer, one on an encrypted cloud drive, and maybe even one on a physical USB stick that you keep in a safe place.
Exactly. And you should write a contemporaneous note. That is a fancy way of saying write down exactly what happened, who was there, and what time it was, immediately after the meeting. When you combine a high-quality audio recording with a written note from the same day, it becomes very, very hard for the other party to lie their way out of it.
It is interesting how the tech has evolved. We went from those tiny cassette tapes, the microcassettes that you used to see in the 80s and 90s, to these digital devices that can hold hundreds of hours of audio. But the fundamentals of sound haven't changed. You still need a good microphone and good placement.
And you still need to be aware of the environment. If Daniel is meeting his landlord in a noisy cafe, even the best recorder is going to struggle. If you are in control of the location, try to pick somewhere quiet. If you are in the apartment, turn off the television, turn off the fans. Every bit of ambient noise you can eliminate makes the voice recording that much more valuable as evidence.
I want to go back to the dummy recorders for a second because I know they are tempting. You can find things on the internet that look like car key fobs or even pens that actually write. Are there any of those that are actually professional grade?
There are, but you won't find them for $20 on a random shopping site. Real professional investigative gear is expensive. There are companies that take high-end Sony or OM system internals and custom build them into everyday objects. Those can be very effective, but for most people, they are overkill. Honestly, for someone like Daniel, a very slim, high-quality professional recorder used intelligently is better than a cheap spy pen.
Because if the spy pen fails, you have nothing. If the professional recorder is slightly more visible but actually works, you have the evidence you need.
Exactly. It is about the mission. The mission is protection. If you are more worried about the gadget looking cool than the audio being clear, your priorities are in the wrong place. This is why I think the strike comparison is so apt. He does not care about looking like a spy. He cares about getting the truth.
It is also worth noting that in a housing dispute, sometimes just the knowledge that you are the type of person who keeps records can change the landlord's behavior. You do not necessarily have to reveal the recording right away. Sometimes you can just say, "I have a record of our conversation on Tuesday where you said the repairs would be done by Friday."
That is a powerful psychological tool. It is the invisible perimeter we talked about in a previous episode regarding security. Sometimes the deterrent is as important as the actual use of the tool. If they know you are meticulous, they are less likely to try to bully you.
So, to summarize the tech recommendations for Daniel, we are looking for a dedicated digital voice recorder from a reputable brand like Sony or OM System. We want something slim with a one-touch record feature. We want to record in a high-quality, uncompressed format like WAV if possible. And we might want to pair it with a small, high-quality lavalier microphone for better sound isolation.
And stay away from the cheap novelties. If it looks like a toy, it probably records like a toy. Go for the professional tools. They are designed for journalists and lawyers and doctors, people whose jobs depend on every word being captured accurately.
And for the strike fans out there, remember that he is a fan of the basics. He would use something he could drop in a puddle and it would still work. Ruggedness and simplicity.
I actually looked up some of the gear used in the production of the Strike TV show, and they really do try to keep it grounded. The props they use are often older models of digital recorders because it fits his character. He is not a guy who upgrades his gear every year. He uses what works until it breaks.
There is a lesson in that for all of us, especially with how fast technology moves. Sometimes the best version of a technology was perfected 10 years ago. Digital voice recording reached a plateau of excellence quite a while ago. You do not need the latest AI-powered recorder to get a clear conversation.
That is true, although some of the newer recorders do have some interesting features. Some now have built-in Wi-Fi so you can automatically upload to a server. But again, for evidence, you have to be careful. Every time a file is transmitted or handled by a third-party cloud service, you are adding links to that chain of custody that could be questioned.
That is a great point. Simplicity is your friend in a legal context. A physical device that you plug into a physical computer is very easy to explain to a judge. A complex cloud syncing AI transcription service is a lot more complicated.
I am glad Daniel brought this up. It is a stressful situation, but it is a perfect example of how tech can be a shield. We spend so much time talking about tech as a distraction or a toy, but when it comes down to protecting your rights and your health, especially with something as serious as mold and asthma, it is a vital tool.
Absolutely. And it is a reminder to all of us to check the laws where we live. Like we said, here in Israel, it is single-party consent. In some places in the States, it is two-party consent, meaning everyone has to agree to be recorded. You definitely do not want to try to protect yourself and end up breaking the law in the process.
Very true. Always do your homework first. But once you know your rights, having the right gear makes all the difference.
Well, I think we have covered a lot of ground here. From the streets of Jerusalem to the fictional alleys of London with Cormoran Strike. It is all about being prepared and using the right tool for the job.
And if you are listening and you have been in a similar situation, or if you have a favorite piece of recording gear that has saved your skin, we would love to hear about it. You can always get in touch through the website.
Definitely. We really value the community that has built up around these weird prompts. Speaking of which, if you've been enjoying the show and you've been listening for a while, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a rating or a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps other people find the show and keeps us going.
It really does. We see every one of them, and it means a lot to us. You can find all our past episodes and a contact form at myweirdprompts.com.
Thanks to Daniel for sending in this prompt and giving us a reason to dive into the world of undercover tech. Good luck with the landlord, Daniel. We're rooting for you.
All right, that is it for this episode of My Weird Props. I am Herman Poppleberry.
And I am Korn. We will see you next time.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a really interesting one, Herman. It makes me want to go through my old gear drawer and see what I have still working.
I bet you have one of those old tape ones tucked away somewhere.
Probably. Maybe for the next episode, we can see if we can still find the tapes for it.
That would be a challenge. All right, let's go get some coffee.
Sounds good. Peace out.
Peace.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.